Oh, Manny on the other side. 888-808-1019. I can see the disappointment in his face. For those of you who are fans of the show, you're used to the great song Good Morning by the Beatles. There it is. Look at him. He's so disappointed in himself. I told him. He knew to play it. No, he's so mad. All right, good morning. We'll try it again at 4:03. Hey, how are we doing? Oh, there's Manny back to laughing. I guess it's not a big deal. You ruined the show. He's back there laughing. I'm just kidding. How's everybody doing on this Wednesday morning? It was a good baseball night for the two locals as the Yankees take care of business against the Baltimore Orioles, and no, Judge isn't hurt. At least that's what we're hearing right now. It seems like everybody's willing to buy that piece of good news. For a Yankee fan base that just doesn't believe a damn thing anybody says about any single injury, we're all jumping on top of, hey, no bones broken because Judge said it. We're good, we're good. Hopefully he is. I'm sure they'll still look at it. He might miss a game, but the Yankees take care of business. Nestor Cortez with six shutout innings and an important series for the New York Yankees against their division rival, against the team, probably the second best team, or should I say the two best teams in the American League. Right now, battling it out, the Orioles came in a game and a half out, tied in the loss column, and Nestor Cortez, this New York Yankee lineup, getting just enough without the need of a home run, little, you know, sacrifice fly here, sacrifice fly there. Nice base hit from Volpe with two runners on, with two outs and a runner at third. Get just enough. We get a little bit of a scare from Clay Holmes in the end of the game. We'll get to that a little bit later. 888-808-1019. But ultimately, Judge is fine. There's a little bit of bad blood brewing between these two teams. We've argued about it, whether or not someone needs to go down. Does Henderson need to take one in the back? What should the Yankees do with Cole starting the game tonight? Trying to win a series against a good team that the Yankees apparently can't beat, but they beat them last night. Ben Rice called up from AAA. The Yankees do the right thing. I talked about that all yesterday morning. Do the right thing and call up Ben Rice to take over for first baseman Anthony Rizzo, who's going to be out a few months with broken bone in his arm. But ultimately, coming away from this game, they outpitched the Orioles. Nestor Cortez, the weakest link of this rotation, I suppose, shut down this Oriole team with six scoreless innings. The Yankees do enough offensively, and Judge is fine. And then you get to the Mets, seven in a row. Seven little chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. Seven's the magic number. As they just cannot be denied. As Luis Severino did not have a great game, as Luis Severino's given up three-run bombs to Smith, as Luis Severino had one of his worst starts in recent history here, as he's had a good, solid year for this Met team, and you just felt like, well, okay, six is a great winning streak. Let's see if they can come back tomorrow. And instead, this Met team continues to battle. This Met team continues to have guys like Nimmo hot hitting another home run, continue to have guys like Vientos, and continue to have guys like Alvarez who've changed this team. And we talked about it yesterday. A caller called up and gave him more credit than I was comfortable giving him. But you know what? After last night, after watching what he's done, after listening to how and seeing what the record is when Alvarez is in there, to see the running game, to see how ultimately they didn't give up. You know, they scored a lot of runs in this game. But Alvarez has completely changed the team, his dynamic in this lineup. And I talked about the things the Mets have been doing in this winning streak that I love. Not necessarily last night, every one of these three, but in the seven games, they have jumped out early on starting pitching and scored and gotten ahead. Now, they did get ahead in this game, albeit, you know, 1-0. But they did jump out early and then 2-1. They jump out early against guys like Dylan Cease, against guys like John Gray, who are some of the better starting pitchers in the National League this year. So they've jumped out early. They've never allowed deficits or big innings to sit on their own. Like when the other team, we've seen it a couple times in this winning streak, they score two, the Mets come right back with two, right? They score four to bring the game within one run after having a big lead. They come right back with four of their own. They don't allow the other team to hold any momentum. I love that about good offenses, and that's a sign of a good team. when they bounce right back. You don't let that crooked number stay there for too long without putting one of your own. And then in this game last night, they take advantage of the mistake because they had they got their fourth run in this game when Seager threw away an easy double play. You got David Robertson comes in, he throws one pitch. They hit into what is the most easy double play, catches the ball right on the bag, for some reason, I'm not positive, I think it was Lindor, dead to rights. All he has to do is make an easy throw to first base. He completely, pulls it, throws it in the dirt. The Mets get that extra run. It felt like they were given life there. And although they didn't make it stick in that inning, they come back the next inning, and Alvarez comes through with the big two-run double. And that felt like it opened up the floodgates. A mistake like that, when you give the Mets an inch, they're going to take a mile. And that's what good teams do. They jump out early. They don't let momentum for the other team last long. And when you make a mistake, they make you pay for it. And that's what this team has been doing. That's what this offense has been doing. And this catcher, who you can't argue what the record is, with him and without him, it is night and day. You look at the ERA of the pitching staff. When he's in, when he's not, it's night and day. And he, even when he struggles, and right now he's hot, but even when he struggles, it feels like he's got a flair for the dramatic. He's one of those players who's going to come through in the big spot. And last night was no difference. As off David Robinson, he puts one in the gap, ties the game. The Alonso, who's starting to wake up, comes through with the bullet down the line to give them the lead. And this team is never out of it. And it feels completely different than just a mere 2 weeks ago, when a 6-2 deficit would have been a death knell. When they are not coming back from that kind of game, no matter how many mistakes the opposition makes. And then you get Diaz at the end of the game, who gets the first runner on and then immediately wipes him away with a double play and a good turn from the Mets, who have been playing better defensively as well. I mean, it's just all coming together, and they are jumping teams. We talked about this wild card standing, and we talked about how important it is to be in it, and they have to make hay now, because come the trade deadline, I believe it's in the Mets' minds that they should trade everybody and they should bring in assets and they should look for the future. I do think that's what Stearns wants to do. I think it's what the owner wants to do. Unless this Met team can show him they can't, unless this Met team can prove to them they're worth giving a chance to chase a pennant. And right now, how could you argue? You've got the offense waking up. The rotation outside of Severino last night has been pretty solid all year long. Even the guys now who've added to the McGill and Petersons of the world have been, pretty damn good. Hopefully you're getting good news on Kodai Senga, who's only going to bolster this rotation. And now if you can get Diaz, who's come back from injury, thrusted right back into the closer role, who's kind of starting to, feel himself, get a little bit more confident, showing a lot of energy and life after the double play, a lot of excitement, and he brings that excitement to the team. I mean, that the trumpets, all of it. How impactful was that 2 years ago? How impactful was knowing you had Diaz at the end of that game, knowing all you had to do was have a tie game or a lead in the eighth, and the Mets were going to figure out how to win because they had a weapon at the back end of the bullpen. And he's not there yet, and I'm not ready to declare this offense there yet. But right now, they are playing some damn good baseball. They are doing a bunch of things good teams do as opposed to a bunch of things bad teams do, which what we've been talking about them the first 2 months of the year, right? When they hit, they don't pitch. When they pitch, they don't hit. When they have an opportunity to make a play that would, end an inning, they botch it. Like, that's what bad teams do. And for the last 2 weeks, the Mets have done things good teams do. And they have completely jumped teams in the standings. They are now a half a game behind the third wild card, Arizona Diamondbacks. They've jumped the Padres. They've jumped the Reds. They've jumped the Pirates. They've jumped the Cubs, all within a couple of days. And they have thrust themselves right into the playoff picture. So a good night for both New York locals. And then, of course, the third story, a sad story. It would have been a great baseball night if not for the fact that baseball lost a legend last night. Willie Mays passed away at the age of 93. One of the greats to ever play the game, a Mount Rushmore baseball player, one of the, as talented as it comes, the definition of a five-tool player. a guy who was a force here in New York early on in his career with the Giants, and then obviously coming back and finishing his career with the Mets, a connection to this city, and one of the great baseball players to ever live, unfortunately passed away at 93. So it's been a baseball kind of day. Judge is fine. The Yankees take game one of a pivotal series against Baltimore. The Mets never stop losing, no matter how much they're behind, no matter what they have to do. It's seven in a row for the Grimace Mets, which I hate saying, but I will because I know you like it. And I'm here for you ultimately, all right? 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Big Mo and Hasler. What's up, Big Mo?
What up, Big Mac? How we doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, getting ready for the holiday tomorrow. Technically...
Well, it's today now. Juneteenth is today, yeah. So happy Juneteenth.
It is today. Getting ready to have some family over the house and everything.
Nice.
Going to talk a bit about Mets and everything. Got my
Well, you certainly got the
big family coming over.
Oh, great. Well, you got some baseball for it, that's for sure.
I got my cousin Leroy, big Yankee fan. He should be bringing over the ribs and everything.
Nice.
I got Anthony's. Big Dodgers fan. She's 89 years old. She makes the sweetest grilled barbecue chicken you will ever have in your life, Big Mac. I want you to try one of these days. We got the grits coming from
345 Hudson. Oh. Attention, Chris McMonagle. I'll find it somehow.
Oh, don't forget. At the end of the day, we got the watermelon coming out. You already know how that goes, Big Mac. You know, you got to leave a little room in your stomach, you know what I'm saying? And the key is you put a little bit of Kool-Aid in there, and the kids can drink it in there.
Let's go put Big Mo back up there.
You know?
Yeah, let's just – what about the baseball, Big Mo?
Willie Mays, greatest player. I mean, I've only seen clips of him. I mean, hell, the guy ran that base as quick as he can. I think they even say he had one of the biggest cup sizes that someone can have. You know?
Thank you, Big Mo. I appreciate it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Oh, man, I got to follow that. That's going to be kind of hard. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. Couple things real quick before I get to the Mets. It's funny hearing the rhetoric about the, with Judge getting hit. Obviously, you don't want to see it happen, him and Volpe getting hit. But was it Torres? I forgot. Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres. It was Judge and then Torres.
Okay.
Yeah.
Judge and Torres. But speaking as a Mets fan who, for a couple of years, the Mets got hit like every other, batter that was up there, and with no retaliation going on. I mean, it's just amazing how, two players get hit, in a hotly contested game against a rival, and all of a sudden it's, war is declared.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, come on.
I really don't think. Listen, they can retaliate, and here's the if Judge is pissed about it, if Judge is honestly angry about it, and he wants his, and he makes it clear that this is unacceptable, which is unacceptable is a word that I believe he used in the postgame, then I understand it. But for me, they're trying to pitch inside. Two got away. This has not been a trend with the Orioles. There was a trend a couple years ago with Tampa Bay. They had a 4-game set in Baltimore. I don't remember this being an issue at all. Two pitches, one pitch to Judge. If Judge doesn't get hurt, if Judge doesn't have to leave the game, we're not having this conversation. I don't think the Yankees have to retaliate. I don't. I want them to retaliate on the scoreboard. And the last thing I want to do is have Gerrit Cole go into a game tomorrow and have to worry about anything else than making his first start, getting his season started, making good pitches and trying to get the Orioles out. I want to win the series. I want to send the Orioles back home 4.5 games up. I don't need to send them back home with Gunnar Henderson having an uncomfortable plane ride home because he's got a bruise on his ass. Like I don't necessarily I don't need that. I want the win.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a good point too about the fact that Cole's first game back. You don't want to deal with that. But let's also remember too. I mean, Judge is so big. I mean, he covers half the home plate anyway. So I mean, he is kind of hard to avoid. But but aside from that, look, I'm glad. I'm still cautiously optimistic, although I'm starting to get more on the optimistic and, you know, as far as the way the Mets have been playing lately. And, you know, honestly, they really need to kind of, you know, milkshake for all it's worth, you know, the Grimace thing. You know, yeah. If you see where I just went with that.
Yes, I did.
But what really made me happy about yesterday's performance is exactly what you said. You know, the fact that Severino struggled, you know, and they were still able to come back. And the main thing also, too, is, you know, runners in scoring position, which, you know, had been a problem for quite a while, they're knocking them in. And that's the mark of a team that's playing well when you can get people in, you know, from second, even good hits from first, you know, on the first base. You know,
that's how you win. Yeah, they manufactured a couple of runs in this game, no doubt. They got the big hit, Volpe's first hit after LeMahieu doesn't get the runner in from third. That was a big single to get the scoring going. It's a big hit for Volpe, who has been struggling a little bit lately, so that was a big hit for him. Then you get the walk, wild pitch moves him over to second, ground ball to short moves him over to third. They get a run in from the sacrifice fly. Like, they manufactured runs. They did not hit a home run in this game. They were able to score enough runs and pitch. And that's why I feel so good about this team. You're adding Cole to later today to a rotation that's been as good as any rotation in all of baseball. And what's going to get lost in that game is Nestor Cortez. What's going to get lost in that game, without question, is the 6 shutout innings that Nestor Cortez gave you. 0 walks, 0 runs for 6 innings. It's going to get lost because we're going to talk about whether or not the Yankees should retaliate. We're going to talk about, oh, thankfully Judge is healthy. We're going to talk about Ben Rice's major league debut. We're going to talk about how that works. We're going to talk about, oh, he got, you know, they put in Cabrera at third and moved LeMahieu over the first later in the game for defensive replacement. How often is that going to happen? Like, he got his first major league hit. He gave the I'm eating rice to the roll call. Like, that's all the stuff. And clearly Judge's injury, number one, and whether or not the Yankees will retaliate at some point in the series. But what's going to get lost is an excellent pitching performance against a very good lineup. Against a team that, you know, I had callers yesterday asking me, you know, when the Orioles win this series, are you going to finally admit that the Orioles are better than the Yankees? Well, when the Yankees win this series, I will happily tell you that the Yankees are better than the Orioles. And that's what I want to be able to say. Because everything else is noise, man. And I understand Judge means it, and I understand there's elements to a team, and you got to protect your players, no doubt. And if they're going to pitch inside, they have to be aware they can't miss. I get it. And I understand how close this season came to unraveling. I get it. I was talking to Andy Martino. I complimented on his book, and he made a quip about, well, I have to make an addendum on how this injury changed the season. And, you know, I mean, that's how we were, because it's that close. It would impact the season on that dramatic level if he breaks his hand. So I get how close the Yankees came to devastation. I get it. And if it becomes a trend, then you have to retaliate. But the best retaliation for me is winning this damn series. That's what I want to do. I don't want to put runner, like, if they hit someone, great, okay. Everyone's going to be grateful. Everyone's going to be, oh, yes, the Yankees needed to retaliate. Gunnar Henderson, you got to hit him. And then Mountcastle, it's a 2-run home run, and the Yankees lose the game 4-2. And suddenly I'm going to be like, well, great, great. Right now Gunnar Henderson has an ice pack on his ass and a beer in his hand celebrating a victory. I should feel better about this. Paul in Chicago, what's up, Paul?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Great, thank you. I just wanted to chime in on Mays and Mantle. I grew up in Edison, New Jersey, so I'm still a diehard Yankees fan, and I was always a Mickey Mantle fan growing up. When I was in fifth grade, my folks moved to Connecticut, so I stuck with the Yankees, still a Mantle fan. My sister went to Fordham University. You know, I've mm-hmm. been to the old Yankee Stadium many times. Later in 1970, I ended up going to college in San Francisco. So I saw Mays play, and I contend that he would own the home run record, not Aaron. At the Polo Grounds, the dimension center field was, if I remember correctly, 480 feet.
Right.
I think the distance down the lines was like 375. I forget what the alleys were.
I think the Polo Grounds the down the line was short, and then it was deep into center field, and the alleys.
Yeah. And
yeah, but I mean,
Candlestick
you can't,
Park.
Yeah.
Candlestick Park, when it first opened, it wasn't even enclosed from
right.
left center
so
to
you're
right center.
So you're going to give me that he made a bunch of outs that were 400-plus feet?
Right, in both places.
No, I understand that, Paul, and I'm sorry I'm up against the break. I appreciate that, and we've heard the same thing. You know, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, you know, used to have to run past the monuments out in center field. So I've heard that before. It is what it is. I mean, listen, you could start to the beginning of Babe Ruth's career, balls that bounced over the wall were considered home runs. Like, we've heard all this. It is what it is. He's one of the great home run hitters of all time. He's one of the great home run hitters and power hitters and overall hitters of all time. Henry Aaron had more home runs. And they played in different ballparks. That's how it is. That's what's great about baseball. It's one of the things I love about baseball is you can build a ballpark around your team. Every ballpark's different. It's not the gridiron. It's not a certain amount of whatever the yardage wide, 100 yards long. It's not a basketball court. Every rim's 10 feet. Like, it's a different element in every field you go. That's why it had that, you know, that famous night of drinking and on a paper napkin they were going to make a trade for Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio because they both fit the ballparks of the opposite team better. But it is what it is. I mean, I don't think we have to try and make a case for Willie Mays to be any better than he is when he's one of the greats who ever lived. And I'd rather celebrate what he did than try and figure out a way to make him even greater. How could you? 424, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan. Y'all know me. At 4:34 in the morning, McMonagle here with you. Another half hour or so until the warm-up show at 5. You know, I know the grimmest thing everyone's having fun with, and I get it with the Mets. I do. I understand, you know, you want to have some fun with stuff. It's not the first time. I mentioned this the other day. The Angels have the rally monkey. Like, we've seen this before. And right now, 7-0, and it does feel like magic. And the first reel, if you look at it, and I just watched it again. And this is going to be perceived by the Met fans who have made up their minds on that I am a Met hater of some kind, which I am not. You're going to take this as, oh, I'm pointing out the one mistake made by the Rangers. Well, I just got to tell you, Seager is a great player. He's a great player. He's one of, you know, if not the best shortstop in the league, two-time World Series MVP for two different teams. There's a handful of guys who can say that. He's a great player. But maybe there is something to this grimace thing. Maybe there is something to what's going on with the Mets that's bigger than us. Because I watched the play again just now. I don't know how Seager throws that double play away. I don't understand it. It is a ground ball right to him from Lindor. He steps on second base. He's got all day. When you get the side angle of the throw and they try and show the first baseman dive for the ball, Lindor's not even in the picture. He could have rolled it to him. I don't know how he throws that ball away. But this Met team, you can't make a mistake against them like that right now. Not with the way this lineup's going, not with the way this team is playing. That is a mistake that is going to come back to bite you. And though it only cost them a run, it felt like watching the game, it's like, oh, it's such a unbelievable letdown for the Rangers to have him come in and throw one pitch, to bring Robertson in, throws one pitch, boom, he gets the double play out of the inning. And instead, you allow a run to score on the easiest play. I don't often say this, because as great as an athlete as I was in high school, and I was, I could make that play. You could make that play. and yet he throws it away, and it just felt like it was gonna, they were gonna find a way from that moment on. And the offense has just been great, and you know, we're gonna really start to talk about it because, you know, with Alvarez, like as these wins pile up, and as he continues to come through with hits like he did in that, in the game last night with the two-run double, and as the record of him, the disparity of the amount of games they win with him and the amount of games they lose without him. I heard Evan talking today on the afternoon show and comparing it to, and I was just reading about OG Anunoby being unhappy with the offer so far from the Knicks. I mean, it feels like the OG Anunoby record with the Knicks, like when Alvarez plays, they win. It's crazy. And he's got the, he's got a flair for the dramatic. He's an impact player. He's helped the pitching staff enormously. They pitch, although, you know, this game excluded from Severino, they pitch much better with him. And he's just, there's something going on right now at the New York Mets. They are rocketing up the wild card standings, only a half a game out. Teams are, you know, just quaking in fear. They can't throw to first base, and the Mets come through with every single opportunity they can. It's remarkable. Seven in a row for the Mets. Mick and T-Neck. What's up, Mick?
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I just had to call in and comment about Willie.
Oh, I know you did, Mick. I know you did.
He was, is my favorite player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And, Chris, I started following baseball in 1960. Remember that World Series? With the Yankees.
I do remember that World Series with the Yankees. They lost in seven. Bill Mazeroski home run. They pounded the the Pirates in every game they won. But it wasn't enough. Yeah. Yes.
No. In that particular game seven, it was a Thursday afternoon. I came home from school, third grade, turned on the television, and actually witnessed Bill Mazeroski's home run go over Yogi Berra's head.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, to get back to Willie, my father, grandfather were New York Giant fans, so I became a Giant fan, even though they weren't in New York. But whenever the Giants came to New York to play the Mets, 62, 63, we saw them in the Polo Grounds, and then when they opened Shea Stadium in 64, every year the Giants came, we'd go out to see the Giants and Willie Mays. And one last thing, Willie Mays has a record that no other ball player will ever come close to getting. I'm not going to make you guess. I'm just going to tell you. It's outfield putouts.
Yes.
I think he, yeah.
Yeah, someone called with it a few callers ago talking about how many outfield putouts he has.
Oh, yeah. One last thing. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, June 18th,
yes,
was also a famous person's birthday.
I'm well aware. I forgot to give Paul a happy birthday shout-out yesterday. I'm very disappointed in myself. But yes,
and I'm
Paul McCartney, 82 years old.
I was going to call you. I was going to call you yesterday about that, but I was too tired. Anyway, Chris, great talking to you, Kent.
Thank you, Mick. Always great talking to Mick. Sitting at home, 4 o'clock in the morning, playing his guitar, thinking about the 1960 World Series and Paul McCartney's birthday. Gotta love it. He's not that much different than I am when you think about it. I'm very similar to Mick. That's what I would do. When I'm his age, I'm going to sit around strumming the guitar, listening to Beatle albums, reminiscing about the 2024 Yankees World Series run.
Just strumming a guitar, singing Hey Jude to yourself?
That's it. Singing Hey Jude or You Never Give Me Your Money. Of which, of course, I'll be singing to my children, because I'm sure they won't, those greedy bums. Didn't want to get a haircut today. The wife wanted to take him to get a haircut while I was at the game. Always a problem when I'm not there. I think she purposely does things like this when I'm not there, because I want to leave early and go to the Yankee game so that there can be a problem, and then she can complain to me and make me feel bad about going to the Yankee game. Kids are stupid. Well, not all kids. Not my kids. They're brilliant. I'm stupid. That's right. I'm stupid. Let's just focus on me. 888 888- 808. I'm just
kidding. I don't know what I was saying.
I'm just kidding. My wife is great. She would never complain about me going to the Yankee game. She understands. She understands. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back rapid fire style and take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you in the overnights right here on The Fan. All right. 451. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. Fliegelman in the building. He'll be with the morning show this morning. He just offered me a donut. No thanks. I've been fasting a lot. Unfortunately, I went to the Yankee press thing today, so I ate at Yankee Stadium late. They had a good spread. Not bad. But obviously a big day for the New York Yankees. Judge is healthy. Nothing broken, at least as of right now. We'll see if they take better pictures later, but it seems like he's going to be fine. Hopefully he plays in the rest of this series. I wouldn't be surprised if they give him today off, but you got Cole making his first appearance, a big series against the Baltimore Orioles for the Yankees, and as me and Fleas were just talking about, the need to retaliate. And, you know, there was a line here that a caller mentioned before, and Jason Lockenfora tweeted out something that I'm not sure if people actually of anyone else but him believes, but I'm wondering if the Orioles might consider it. And it, I mean, if you believe that they threw inside on purpose a Judge, which I can't imagine you do. I mean, yeah, maybe threw inside to get him out, but certainly not to hit him on purpose. But there was a sequence in this game, and I have to admit, Soto is awkward on the base path for such a great player. He runs better than I was told. Like, I remember I took a phone call right before the season started, and they were like, you wait and see. Soto's terrible defensively. Soto's terrible on the base path. He's one of the worst base runners in the league. He's one of the worst outfielders in the league. He's going to be a DH, clogs up the bases. Sure, he can hit and he can walk, but blah, blah, blah. Like, he's been so much better in the outfield than I thought he was. Not that he's a gold glove caliber outfielder, but he's good. He's solid. I was under the impression he was a hindrance out there, and you dealt with it because of his offense, but he's been fine. And he runs the bases with speed. I mean, he had a great slide at home plate last week. Like, he's been a much better base runner than I thought, but he's awkward out there. And he does run into Westberg in this game, and Westberg leaves the game with, you know, left hip tightness whatever the hip injury was. And Jason Lockenfora tweeted out that someone needs to throw at the Yankees, or retaliation needs to happen for that clown running into the runner on purpose. And someone called me earlier about it. Like, the idea that they believe Juan Soto ran into the third baseman on purpose. One, it's a guaranteed out. It's a guaranteed out. It's runner interference. It's the clearest. It's clear as day. The fielder's entitled to make a play. The runner is not entitled to a clear path to the base when it comes. The fielder takes precedent. He's entitled to make the play. It's clear-cut interference. And I didn't think it was that much of a collision where he didn't run him over. This wasn't Albert Bell on the base path. I forget the second baseman off the top of my head. But when Albert Bell just launched that second baseman 6 feet in the air, like, this isn't, Pete Rose running over, at the catcher position in the All-Star game. Like, they made some contact. He still made the play. But he does come out of the game, and, you know, I don't know if Oriole fans were upset about it. I guess Jason Lockenfora is an Oriole fan, and he was talking about throwing and retaliation before Judge even got hit, I think, the tweet came out. Or maybe it wasn't, because then he says karma. No, it was after Judge got hit, because he said something about karma. But this is where it gets dumb for me. It just gets dumb for me. I don't think either. Obviously, Soto wasn't running into the third baseman on purpose. And I don't believe Suarez was trying to hit Judge. And I understand there was a health scare. I don't think the Yankees need to retaliate. I don't. If you were going to do it, last night was probably the time to do it. I don't need to do it now. I don't need to do it in this game. Certainly, I don't need Cole thinking about it. That's the last thing I want to put on Cole's plate, is having to figure out how to retaliate and put a fastball on someone's back. It's the last thing I want. I want him out there pitching well. I want to win the next two games. I want to embarrass the Orioles. I want them to come into the series and walk away being swept by the clearly better New York Yankees. That's what I want. That's my only focus. Everything else is secondary. And I understand Judge is pissed, but anybody would be if you got hit in the hand with a fastball. And I'm all for creating bad will. I like the idea that they don't like each other. But I want them to not like the Yankees because they can't beat them. Not because Adley Rutschman or Gunnar Henderson took a fastball in the ribs. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch? Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
How are you doing, Big Mac? It's been a while. Everything,
yes,
everything good?
Everything's great, man. How are you been? How have you been?
Good. How about Friday night? You want to go Friday night with me? I got an extra ticket. Friday night game. You want to come?
This Friday night?
Yeah, this Friday night. Me and you.
Oh, it's not a crazy idea. I'll let you know. I don't think I can. I'm actually going to work Friday night. I'm filling in for Keith right after the game, so I don't think I can because I got to be here. But thank you for the offer.
Okay. Well, you leave
the Atlanta. Yeah, maybe. I mean, we'll see.
If you change your mind to talk to Sal, Sal has my number.
All right,
but, you know, you're talking about last night about pitching. If you looked at it, last night Cortez went after somebody, and then Holmes went after in the ninth inning before Sandegaard hit the two-run homer and everything else. So they did actually try to go back at him. But they did.
Yeah, I mean, Nestor did throw one kind of up and in, and then Clay Holmes, who, again, I know is going to be a talking point. I still think Clay Holmes is fine to give a two-run home run. I'm not worried about Clay at all. I mean, he's still one of the better closers in baseball. He's not perfect.
I'm not worried about the home run, but he was trying to pay, it was payback.
Yeah,
he did too.
Maybe.
But with Judge, if you watch the pitch, okay, it was inside, but it wasn't like he tried to throw at his hand. It hit his forearm first, and then it hit the bottom of the bat. But I got to tell you something. I'm watching that thing at the end and saying, oh, no. And I was talking to my friend, and right after he said, if he takes him out of the game, we got a problem. And I was like, he takes him out, and he says, oh, no, here it is. Next thing you know was, and I'm watching afterwards, and there's no report. And then 20 minutes after, they finally got interviewed Judge, and he had a big smile on his face, said, I'm okay, x-rays are fine, I'll be all right. And, you know, that was a big scare, because I got to tell you something. Big Mac, I got to have to say this here. Everyone complained about Mr. Cashman. Well, you know, everyone wanted him out, even you, and everybody wanted him out. Mm-hmm. And look what he's done. This team is perfect. But they still got to get, you know, they still need two more things up. And they need a relief pitcher. They need an eighth inning guy. And they need a lefty closer, a lefty pitcher in the bullpen. And otherwise than that, this team is pretty good. And maybe another first baseman as a backup. But after that, and whatever. But, I mean, Yankees are playing hot. They're exciting to play. And I got to tell you something. If Soto, everyone says Soto's leaving. I go to a lot of games that have season tickets. And I watch Soto play right field. This guy loves New York. He loves it. He gets the crowd going crazy when he comes out. Every inning he goes, it makes it excitement. He loves it here. And I just don't see any way possible this guy's leaving.
No, listen, I agree with you. I'm not concerned about it just yet. I have bigger fish to fry than what Soto's going to do next year. I want to win the championship this year. Efros might be coming back, and they're going to have to definitely get an infielder and a relief pitcher at the bare minimum. But I'm not worried about Clay Holmes. And, you know, those who want to paint the narrative of the big game, well, every time a closer pitches, it's a big game and in a big situation. And right now, he's just, you know, he hasn't been, the last couple of outings, he hasn't been as sharp as he's been. He's going through a little bit of being less sharp than he was at the start of the year. That's kind of all relief pitchers go through, but he got the job done. That's it for me, Manny, on the other side. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. The warm-up show is next. I'll catch you tomorrow at 2 a.m., after Gerrit Cole makes his first appearance of the season, and hopefully the Yankees can win the first two games of the series. And the Mets, will it be 8 in a row? We'll find out. Tomorrow morning, 2 a.m., I'm out of here. See you guys. Warm-up show next. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.